The guy in the boat asked the guy swimming in the water. He goes, "Hey, you need some help?" And he goes, no, God will come by. He'll save me. He'll take care of me." And so soon enough, the guy drowns. He dies, goes to heaven. "Hey, God, what's up? How come you didn't help me?" And sometimes we don't see God's goodness. Sometimes we don't see the boat. You know, sometimes these blessings come to pass in our life and we don't see them. And that's what I want to talk to you guys about today, and seeing the boat, seeing the goodness of the Lord. I was reading a story about John F. Kennedy. During John F. Kennedy's time when he was president, is back when NASA was in its big heyday, and they're going through the process of flying to the moon, and he went to Houston, and he visited the NASA space program, and there's a story about an encounter that he had with the workers at NASA. And upon going and walking around and getting a tour of the NASA space station and the building and the facilities, he sees a janitor mopping. The janitor's there mopping the floor there. And he asked him, "Sir, what do you do?" And the janitor replied to the president, "Because I'm helping a man get sent to the moon." We talk about seeing the goodness of the Lord, about seeing the boat. You know, many of us, we see our jobs as work, as labor, as a hassle, as a hard time, as a burden, as sweat. And this humble janitor says that his simple job is helping send a man to the moon. And we got to see the big picture in things, because the truth is that small things add up to big things. And in life, we can focus on the journey, and sometimes we can focus on the destination, and I think we need to focus a little bit on both. We can't let the destination take over our lives that we don't experience the small things, and we can't let the small things take over our lives so that we don't appreciate the big picture. And the truth is that during these times, if we see the goodness, if we see the blessings, it'll help us not crumble under pressure. And perhaps maybe the janitor supervisor will go and say, "Hey, I know you just finished mopping and cleaning this area, but hey, can you go over to that other place and clean that too? And it's already 5:30, 30 minutes after he's supposed to get out of work, but I need you to do that real quick." And when you have setbacks, you know, sometimes we quit, and sometimes we need to just put our foot to the pedal and just keep grinding, you know. I listened to what Matt was talking about, and I was like, "Man, I think this guy hacked into my computer and saw my notes or something." Tricky guy here. But that's the goodness of God. That's seeing the blessing. That's seeing the boat, seeing the goodness of God. And I wrote this down. It says, how will we use this time, the time we're currently in our lives? Everybody has a different time that they're in to grow. And I talk to the youth, and when I share conversations with the youth, sometimes when I talk about growth, they look at me like as if growth is a bad word. It's like, "Oh, Joseph said grow." But that's like a parent thing, you know. We talk about our kids growing up, and oh, there's that G word again. But grow is not a bad word, guys. There's another story. I had a lot of time. I had a couple of days off from school, so I had some extra free time. And there's another story about some bricklayers I wanted to share with you guys. Some of y'all might have heard it or not. But there's a passerby, a traveler. He's going to a big city, and he's passing by, and he sees some men, some construction workers laying bricks. And he goes up to the first man, goes, "Hey, sir, what are you doing?" The guy turns to him and says, "I'm laying bricks. What does it look like I'm doing?" "Okay." And he goes on and goes to the next gentleman. "Hey, sir, what about you? What are you doing?" "I'm help putting up a wall." "Wow." The guy keeps walking and he goes up to this other man and goes, "What about you, sir? What are you doing? What's your job?" The man turns to him and he says, "I'm building a church." And I thought the story was very interesting because we're talking about seeing the boat, seeing the blessing, seeing the goodness of the Lord. And all three men are doing the same job, but they have different perspectives. And I guess what I'm getting to is, what is our perspective? Over the several years that I've been here at the church, I've been able to see the children of the children church turn into youth. And I've seen the youth turn into young adults. And I've seen the young adults turn into men and women. And I've seen new members of the church turn into leaders and elders, and the leaders turn into a bigger role. And we transition, and God blesses us with these opportunities. And it's kind of like those men, you know, our lives. The bricks turns into walls. The walls turn into churches. Our youth turn into young adults, and our young adults into men and women, and the men and women end up having a family. And time goes on, and God does that in our lives. He turns our nights to day, and our defeats, and our battles, and our long days, and our tough times into victories. And I think when reading this story, what popped into my mind was having intention. You know, what are you doing? And what I mean is that if we don't have intention, we can see the job that we're doing as laying bricks, or we can see it as building a church. The relationship that you as a father have with your son, you as an employee have with your coworker, you as a student that have with your peers and your classmates, even your teachers, your mentors. We can be laying bricks, or we can be laying a church. We got to have growth. We got to have passion. We got to have intention. Because like I said, growth is not a bad word. But we got to be able to see the goodness. We got to be able to see the boat. We got to have vision. I've been sharing with the youth about having vision. And God just really put it in my heart about having that vision. Pastor Elias has been talking to us about preparing our heart. And I think that it's very important and it's crucial to have our heart develop in the way of the Lord. Because if it's not prepared, just like a slab of fajitas, if we don't prepare it, it's going to taste bad, right? If that fire's too hot, or if the fire's not good enough, the meat's going to come out bad. We got to prepare our heart. But once our heart's prepared, we got to know where the heart's going to go, and we got to have vision. If you have your Bibles, I want you to open them up to Psalm chapter 1. I'm going to jump through some stories here. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. see the boat, see the goodness of the Lord, see the vision, have the vision. Psalm 1, Psalm chapter 1, verse 1 reads, "Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates the day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers." I want to touch on verse 3. This is the NLT version. The Bible says, "They are like trees planted along the riverbank, bearing fruit in each season. Their leaves never wither, and they prosper in all they do." One, they are planted by streams of water. I like this verse because if you're planted by a stream of water, it puts you in a position to not be dependent upon the circumstances you live in. It makes you not depend on the circumstances you live in. If a tree is planted by a source of water, it doesn't matter what season it's in. It doesn't matter how cold it is. It doesn't matter how hot it is. It doesn't matter when was the last time it rained. It has living water flowing close to it, and so it is able to be sustained. Two, it says, fruits in each season. I like this, the NLT version, because it says in each season. And I got to thinking, well, if you know about trees and plants, they have a season in which they bear fruit. But the Bible says that if we're planted in the living water, if we're planted in solid ground, in a good foundation, we will bear fruit in each season. Not a season, not in the fall, not in the winter, not in the spring, not in the summer, but in each season. And the truth is that we are in different seasons. The season I'm in is different from the season Eloy's in, and different from the season Matthew's in. But it doesn't mean that I'm bearing fruit and Eloy's not, or Matthew is bearing fruit and I'm not. The Bible says that if we are planted in his living water, we will bear fruit in each season. And it's hard to see that, but it's important that we do. No matter your season, whether you struggle at work or whether you struggle in college or whether you got a nail in your tire this morning, no matter the season, God has a plan for us. And that plan is to bear fruit in each season. Three, do not wither. The verse here says that the tree will not wither. I was talking to Matt the other day about how the body survives. And if the body is exposed to cold temperatures, the body has an immune system and a sympathetic system that allows it to survive. The body in its natural senses is a living organism that is meant to survive in whatever circumstance it's in. And so when you jump into freezing water, into a cold temperature, the body will send all the blood to the core of the body, from the extremities to the core, so that it can sustain itself and save itself. It'll send all the warm blood to the heart and to your organs so that that part of your body can remain intact or have the best chance to survive. I can live without a finger, but I can't live without my heart. I can live without a foot, but I need my lungs. That makes sense. And the Bible's talking about us being planted near living water, near God, in God's word, in his good deeds, in us praying to him, so that we do not wither, so that our supply is constant. But also so that we don't have to hold back. You see, when the body jumps into water, or when a tree goes through the fall season or through the winter season, the reason why a tree loses its leaves is because the same thing happens, the same way as if a human being like us would jump into freezing water. What the tree does is it sends all its energy to its roots so that the roots can survive. And the leaves, what do you see? You see the leaves fall off. All you see is branches. But when the spring comes, those roots are still strong because all of that energy was sent there. And so it can continue to grow once the temperature changes. But God wants us to not wither. And it's important that we see this goodness. Because many times we have the mentality that we're supposed to live from season to season. And you know what? I'm in a season right now and I'm not supposed to bear fruit, but that's wrong because God isn't a seasonal God. He's an eternal God. And four, the Bible says that we are to prosper. And I like this part the most because In verse 3, it talks about a tree. But God doesn't plant trees, does he? What does he plant? Seeds. Amen. He plants seeds. And that's what I mean by having vision. We go from a seed to a tree. And it's hard to see that. It's hard to have that patience. It's hard to have that time to go from a seed to a tree. But I shared with the youth about having bamboo faith. What bamboo faith means is that bamboos, when they're planted, they don't grow for 3 years. They stay underground building their roots for 3 years. And in an instant, the moment they crack ground, they can grow up to 4 feet a day. 4 feet a day. But nobody sees them during those 3 years that they're growing and building roots and building character and building strength. And I like it. I like the fact that God puts this word prosper in all they do. Because he wants us to bear fruit in each season. Whether we're at the top of the building or we're at the bottom of the building. Whether we're laying a brick or whether we're building a church. Whether you're the janitor or whether you're the astronaut that actually flies to the moon. No matter the season, we are meant to bear fruit. It's what his word has planned us to do, what his word has said that we will do. I want to share with you guys the story of the story of Leah. If you turn your Bibles to Genesis 29. So in Genesis 29, we read about Jacob. And Jacob meets this man. This man called Laban. Laban has two daughters. He's got Leah and Rachel. One of them's a hottie and one of them's a... not so much, you know. Good old Jacob sees Rachel and his hormones start flowing and he goes to daddy and says, hey, He goes, hey, Laban, what do I got to do to be with Rachel? So he makes an agreement, and he works for 7 years, and after the 7 years, he's to marry and sleep with Rachel, except when the night comes and the sun comes up in the morning, he realizes that he's not with Rachel, he's with Leah. And it was a custom, the Bible says that it was a custom not to give the second daughter, but the first daughter, and it just so happened that Leah was the first daughter, and so that's what happened. What a predicament. And so Jacob goes back to dad and says, hey, what do I got to do to get with Rachel? Our arrangement was Rachel. He goes, well, you got to work for another 7 years. So Jacob works 14 years for Rachel with no intention of being with Leah. And so we find Leah in verse 31, married to Jacob, even though Jacob didn't want to marry her. We find Leah in a situation that's not favorable to her. And isn't that a lot like life? It's not favorable towards Leah, and it's not favorable towards Jacob. And isn't that a lot like life? So let's read the word in verse 31. It says, when the Lord saw that Leah was not loved, he opened her womb, but Rachel was barren. And Leah became pregnant and gave birth to a son. She named him Reuben, for she said, it is because the Lord has seen my misery, surely my husband will love me now. And she conceived again, and when she gave birth to a son, she said, because the Lord heard that I am not loved, he gave me this one too. So she named him Simeon. And again she conceived, and when she gave birth to a son, she said, now at last, my husband will become attached to me, because I have borne him three sons. So he was named Levi. Verse 35 says, she conceived again a fourth son. And when she gave birth to a son, she said, this time I will praise the Lord. So she named him Judah. I'm talking about seeing the boat, seeing the blessing, seeing the vision, having the vision, seeing the goodness of the Lord. So check it out. In verse 31, God blesses Leah, but Leah doesn't see the blessing. The Bible says that she was barren, but yet she's having a son. She's missing the blessing. She's missing the boat. You need help? Nope, I'm good. God will save me. You're barren? Oh, here's a son. Missed the blessing. So instead of seeing the blessing, she's focused on her situation, her dilemma. I'm stuck with this guy, Jacob. He doesn't even want to marry me. He wants to marry my sister, and I can't have kids. But, oh, wait, I have a kid now. And she misses the blessing. The Bible says in verse 32 that she became pregnant and she named him Reuben because the Lord has seen my misery. God gave me a son not because he loves me or because he's good or because he wants what's best for me, but because I'm miserable. Wow. Talk about really missing the boat. Leah had no vision of the blessing. And we as a church, as Christians in our walk, we need to focus on the blessing and not the circumstance, not the pain. See, Leah was miserable because she's with Jacob, and Jacob doesn't want her. She's more focused on her sister, Rachel, than she is on the blessing of having a son. And if that wasn't enough, God goes and blesses her again with another son. And she names him Simeon in verse 33. And she says that she names him Simeon because she's not loved. Yet before we even started this, the story in verse 31, God says that he blesses her. And she misses the blessing from going from not being able to have a son, from not being able to birth children, to being able to. And then not only that, but having one son, and now she has two. And she's more focused on her circumstances than on the blessing. She's missing the vision. She doesn't have the vision. She's not seeing the blessing. She's not seeing the boat. In verse 34, it says, "Now at last." It says, again, she conceived, and when she gave birth to a son, she said, "Now at last." Oh, I got three kids now. "Now at last, he's going to be attached to me. He's going to forget about Rachel and stay with me. At last, now at last." She has no vision of the blessing. She's focused on the circumstance. But we need to focus on the blessing and not the approval. See, the janitor, it wasn't, "Oh man, I'm not the astronaut flying to the moon." He wasn't focused on the applaud or the praise or the approval. He was focused on the purpose. And what's the purpose of him mopping those floors and cleaning those toilets? To serve the greater good, the big picture. The big picture is not missing the boat, seeing the goodness of the Lord, seeing the blessing. And in verse 35, something happens to Leah. I guess she finally, kind of like us, we kind of finally run out of excuses. And you know, somebody throws a rock and hits us aside the head, you know. And when I used to work for the school district several years ago, I used to tell the kids that one day they come up to school and ask them math stuff, math questions, and they had no clue. And then some days they would come and they were like spot on, man. They could answer the questions. I can even ask them harder questions and they would know it. And I was like, "Man, what's up with you guys? Like, when y'all go home, is there this huge rock that you guys just go and like hit your head upon and then y'all forget everything I taught you?" And then when they come in and they remember stuff and they're answering and they do good on the warm-up quiz, I was like, "Y'all didn't hit the rock last night, did you?" Right? But this happens to Leah, and we read in verse 35. She conceives again, and when she gives birth, she says, "This time." And I think us as a church, we need to be in a "this time" mentality. "This time I will not miss the boat. This time I will see the goodness of the Lord. I will see the vision." And she names her son Judah. The Hebrew word for Judah is Yada or Yehuda, which means praise. And I like it because in the previous verse she says, "At last, at last." Yeah. And that wasn't good enough. And she has one more son, another blessing. And I think the message here is that when we get to our at last I'm going to get that job. At last I'm going to get that raise. At last I can afford new tires for my truck. At last the class is over. When we get to our at last, guys, we need to keep going. We need to keep going. We got to have vision. We got to focus on the blessing. And see, Jacob paid 14 years for Rachel and nothing to Leah. And I think Leah realized that it's not about how others value you. And it's, does that make sense? We shouldn't, what matters isn't how others value us. Doesn't matter whether I'm the astronaut or the janitor. Doesn't matter whether I'm laying bricks or building churches. It's about how God values you. And in verse 31, God valued Leah so much, despite her circumstance, that he blessed her with the ability to bear children. He blessed her from the beginning. And the truth is that no matter our circumstance, no matter our circumstance, wherever we are today, over 2,000 years ago, he blessed us. God blessed us with his son. He died for us, for our sins, our imperfections, our good days and our bad days. And he blessed us in advance. No matter what we're going through, we have been blessed from the beginning. And so it's important for us not to miss the boat, to have the vision, to be focused, to see the goodness of the Lord. Because we can't change our past, church. We can't change our past. There's no vision in the past. It already happened. I already know what happened in my past. There's no need to have vision. But in our future, in this time, the way Leah saw it, this time, when we fight past our at last, when we keep on fighting, when we keep on going, this time, I will praise God. I didn't give this Bible verse to Victoria in the back, but in Psalm 34, David writes, King David, in verse 1, he says, I will extol the Lord at all times. I will praise the Lord. Verse 2 says that my soul will boast in the Lord. Verse 3 says, I will glorify the Lord. Verse 4 says, I will seek the Lord. And this is King David. Just like Leah, overlooked. King David was overlooked. He was out in the field. Nobody was clapping for him. Nobody was seeking him. He was doing his thing. He was being faithful to God. He was building his own church. He was laying bricks, and he said that he was building churches. He was laboring in the hot sun, and he was preparing to win a victory for the people of God. He saw the goodness of the Lord. He was focused on the vision. And when the day came, after the bamboo had been growing for 3 years, it sprouted up and nothing could stop it. And God sent David to work those fields. God has sent us to work those fields so that when we face our giants, we kill them. We defeat them. I always tell Matt, once we kill that giant, we got to chop his head off too. It's the best part. See, God wants us to work hard, but he wants us to enjoy the work too. Nothing better than killing a giant. Only thing better than that is chopping its head off. Praise God. And Leah comes to this revelation and says, you know what? I have my fourth son. I'm going to name him Judah, and I will praise God. I will see the blessing. I will see the goodness. And we need to see our Judah, guys. We need to see our Judah. And this is important because I think sometimes we don't see Judah. And it's okay that we mess up. It's okay that we don't see the blessing. But this time, church, we need to see the blessing. Our hearts are prepared. We need to have the vision moving forward. A new year's coming. And it's important that we open our Bibles, we read our Bibles, we pray to God. God, reveal your vision, your plan to me, your purpose to me. My heart's ready. Give me direction. Help me see the blessing. Help me not miss the boat. Help me stay focused. I don't have a job right now, but I will praise your name. This time I will praise your name, Lord. I got a job, but man, my coworker, that man I sit by, Judah. We need to praise God. Got a truck sitting at home with a nail in it. Judah, got to praise God. We got to see the blessing, the opportunity. Matt was talking about it. No matter the circumstance, see the blessing. Don't miss the boat. So what are the things in our lives that we need to proclaim Judah over? The job that doesn't pay enough, the late nights of studying, being at home bored because you have nothing to do, not having enough money in your bank account because Christmas is coming. What do we need to proclaim Judah over? What do we need to praise God over? That same truck that's got a nail in it, the AC don't work either. Judah. It's winter. You don't need AC. What do we need to praise God for? What circumstance? And I'll close with this. What's the significance of Judah? What is the significance of Judah? Check it out. Revelation 5:5. In Revelations, the Bible says that one of the elders said to me, it says, "Do not weep. See the lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has triumphed." When we praise God over all our circumstances, when we praise God over all our circumstances, the vision comes to pass. The victories come. Churches are built. Astronauts fly to the moon. What was once barren comes to life. And remember that tree? That tree that was rooted. That was rooted by the living water. The significance of Judah. In Matthew 1, the very first book of the New Testament, the Bible lays out the genealogy of Jesus. And this is very important. I'm closing with this. It's very important that you understand this, because Leah saw that she was in a circumstance where she had a husband that worked for 14 years and didn't even want her. And she missed the blessing. She missed the blessing. And I don't want us as a church, as in our Christian lives, to miss the blessing. And this is the blessing, is that she couldn't have kids, and she wasn't even wanted as a wife. And yet God blessed her with the opportunity to have kids. And she had one kid, and it wasn't enough. And she had two, and it wasn't enough. And she had three, and it wasn't enough. And finally, she gets hit by the rock and says, "You know what? This time I will praise Jesus. I will praise God." And the significance of this is in Matthew 1. Verse 16, check it out. I'm going to go backwards. Verse 16, it says, "And Jacob, the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom he was born Jesus, who is called Christ. The genealogy of Jesus, our Lord and Savior Jesus. Where did Jesus come from? Check this out. Let's go backwards. Then you got Eliud, the father of Eleazar. I'm not going to read all these names. Crazy. There's a lot of like weird names these guys came up with, okay? And so then we go back another set of generations. And we got Azar, the father of Zadok. And we go back and we have verse 13, Zerubbabel, the father of Abiud. And then verse 12, it says, after the exile of Babylon, we have Jeconiah, the father of Shealtiel. Verse 11, we continue to go back, and it says Josiah, the father of Jeconiah, and we go back to 10, and it says Hezekiah, the father of Manasseh, and then we keep going back, and we keep going back. Verse 9, it says Uzziah, the father of Jotham. Verse 8, Asa, the father of Jehoshaphat. Verse 7, Solomon, the father of Rehoboam. Verse 6, Jesse, the father of King David. Verse 5, Salmon, the father of Boaz. Verse 4, Ram, the father of Aminadab. And verse 3, check it out. Verse 3, this is the good stuff right here. It says, Judah, the father of Perez, the same Judah we're talking about, Judah that was like a, finally, at last, this time, you know, that Judah. And we go back to 2. It says Abraham, the father of Isaac. Isaac, the father of Jacob. Jacob wanted to hook up with Rachel, got Leah. Leah was depressed because she wasn't even wanted, but God blessed her anyway and gave her the ability to have kids. And not only did she have one kid, she had two kids, she had three kids. And at last, and finally, and this time I will praise God for my son Judah. See, my story to you guys, my message to you guys is whatever circumstance you're in, it may not seem like it's going good. I might not get the present I want for Christmas. I might not get the promotion that I'm supposed to be up for. I might get overlooked. I might be undervalued. I might not get that Christmas bonus that my boss has promised me. Might not get that phone I want. Mom and dad aren't going to fix my cracked screen. But God blessed Leah with Judah. And what was overlooked, God had a purpose for. And he blessed it from the beginning. And Leah praised God for Judah. And from Judah, the genealogy of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. No matter your circumstance, church, we need to see the boat and see the goodness of the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time today, Father God. We thank you for the opportunity to come together as a church, Father God, during this holiday season. To praise your goodness, Father God, to see your goodness, Father God. And I pray, Father God, that every heart, Father God, every foot that stepped forward this morning, Father God, seeking your goodness, Father God, that this message just be engraved in their heart this morning. That we have been blessed from the beginning, no matter our circumstance. And will you help us, Lord? Will you help us see your goodness? Will you help us see the boat, Father God? You have built our hearts. You have prepared our hearts, Father God. Give us the vision, Father God. Give us the focus, Father God, to see the blessing, to build your church, to serve the community.